All right, everybody, let's see if we can get this right. Okay, let's put our hands together like this. All right, now I am a children's pastor. Wow, kind of do what I need to do, so. All right, now see if you can get your right foot going opposite to this. All right, now keep that going. Now you got to say this. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. Okay, let's do it again. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. Okay, well done. Give yourselves a hand. I'm impressed. That worked. Some people are like, okay, where is he going with this? Some of us remember where that's from. We listened to that years ago. But that song's been going around in my mind ever since Steve sent me the email saying, Darren, you're speaking on Do Not Worry. And I'm like, God, why did you do this to me? Been through some stuff and am still going through some stuff, and now I have to teach and speak on what I'm going through, but it's all good. It's all good. Do not worry about it. The other thing was, don't worry. Be happy. All righty. So turn to your friend and say, don't worry, be happy. All right, because you know what? We can not worry and we can be happy. In fact, it's what our lives are supposed to be. It doesn't matter what we're going through. We're supposed to be happy because the world needs to see us and say, hey, we want what they've got. Because they are going through what we're going through in the world, in the natural. We're going through all the financial stuff. We're going through all the struggles and trials of the world. But the Christians are happy and they've got something good going. So we need to, and we can be happy. Hamish this morning came up to me and gave me a prophetic word, and I'll share. This morning, just share my journey with where God has got me at the moment, and allow the Holy Spirit to move you into a place of encouragement. Allow Holy Spirit to take you to a new place of saying, you know, I can understand where Darren's at. I can empathize. I can sympathize. I can identify with where Darren's at. But it's time to move forward. I believe this message this morning is a prophetic message at the same time as it being a realistic experience that we're walking through right now. And Hamish came to me and he said, Darren, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've seen you standing in the middle of a desert. And I'm like, wow, he's read my mail. For a number of weeks, I've been in this place of feeling like I'm in a real desert. And listening to all the people this morning, listening to the testimonies as George comes and stands up and talks about what he's been going through and the struggles that he's been going through, the reality of that when you're moving into a new territory, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. But some of us are content just to be where we are, and some of us are not content with the existence of today, saying there's got to be more, there has to be something more to life, and we're going to go into that place, we're going to go into that territory. But when we start moving in that direction, things get hard and things get difficult. And I'm sure every one of us to some point goes through the struggles and goes through the realities of this. And I'm going to share out of what I've been through and what I am going through. But at the same time, I'm going to share with what the Holy Spirit is doing in me and the absolute rock-solid foundation that I've been experiencing Him to be as I've walked through this. Because we are in a season of change. We are in a season of change. And I speak that prophetically. Tomorrow is not going to look like today. It cannot look like today. And our expectation must be that God, what I read in the Bible today, I want to experience tomorrow. I'm tired of reading the things and saying, well, that was good for those days. It was good for the disciples. It was good for the apostles. And enjoying the stories, but not experiencing the stories for myself. So as we read through this, Luke chapter 12, verse 4, we're going to start at verse 4. And we're going to read up to verse 40. So it's quite a long passage to read. But bear with me because we need to go through this whole thing. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who will kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry. Everybody say, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit himself will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Then one of the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus turned to him and said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you or your affairs? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build bigger and greater barns. And there will be a store. There I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God turned and said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be that you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. And God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add 1 cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat and what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, give alms, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open up to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he himself will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect it. There are three things that Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's talking to the multitudes, and he's speaking to them, and he's talking about all of these things. But three things that come out of this, Jesus puts life into perspective, and he sums a whole lot of things up in this very short passage. And those three things are the value of possessions, loving the poor, and his return. And we're speaking about worry this morning. Don't worry. What are some of the things that cause us to worry in our life and in our culture today? What are some of the things that when we wake up in the morning or when we go to bed at night and we lie there and we just think and we process, it's like, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do here? God, I'm worried about my finances. A couple years ago, or not even years ago, when the stock markets all tumbled and everything fell and everybody was getting into a state of panic, what are the things that motivate us to worry? The value of possessions. Matthew 6:32 says, for the Gentiles, this is the way that the New American Standard Bible puts it, for the Gentiles eagerly seek these things. They seek possessions. What do? They wake up in the morning and their focus and their vision and their drive is to wake up and work so that they can get some money. At the end of the day, our lives revolve around money. Now, money is not bad. But when we come to the place when our dependency is on what we can do and our jobs, the dependency upon our futures is what determines what we do, then we can begin to worry when that can be shaken is shaken. When the financial world and the financial markets begin to crumble, we begin to worry because all of our life and all of our stuff is consumed in that place. So what are the things that the Gentiles seek? Well, they like a bigger house. And I would speak this very clearly and say, I know because I've been in this environment and because I've been through the process. I'm in a slightly different place at the moment, and I'll share a little bit about that story. But every one of us in this church building today goes through the struggles with these things. I want a bigger house, or I want a better house. The neighbor has a landscape garden. And so I want another house, and okay, so I go to get a big house. It's going to cost me $200,000. I don't have $200,000, so I'm going to go to find somebody who will loan me the money, which would be a bank or a mortgage company. They will loan me the money to buy my house. So when they do that, I'm all satisfied and I'm okay until the boss comes to me and says, listen, Darren, you don't have a job anymore. Sorry, but we're restructuring the company. You don't have a job, and so you don't have a salary anymore. So now I begin to worry. Now I begin to get concerned because I've bought this house. Somebody else owns the house, really. But I have to keep paying it back. Why do I have to pay it back? Because if I don't pay it back, they're going to come and they're going to take the house away from me. They're going to repossess it. So I begin to worry and I begin to get afraid. But I was just living life. I was just doing what everybody else does, getting into debt so that I can buy a house. Isn't it true? That's what everybody does. We all do it. What about a new car? Okay, well, I've got my house, so I can figure it out. I've got a little bit of extra money, so I've bought my house, but now I need a car because the car that I have has got rust on it, and it's old. It's got about 160,000, 170,000 kilometers, and the tires are wearing out. It needs a new water pump, so you know what? I'm just going to go and buy a new car. So I go out, and I spend $25,000 on a loan. Because I don't have $25,000 cash. Because I bought a house. So I go and get a loan and they approve me. And I'm, yoo-hoo, they've approved me because my salary will take the payments of a house and it'll take the payments of a car. Woo-hoo! I'm getting further into this thing. Because now the boss comes to me and says, Darren, now you've lost your job. I'm like, I've got a car they're going to repossess. So my worry, what are people going to think of me? I don't have a job, I don't have a house, I don't have a car, it's been taken away. What are they going to think of me? So I begin to worry and I begin to get anxious. The word worry, if you look it up in the dictionary, can be related to the anxiety or that relationship when an animal, like an animal of prey, a lion, will grab its prey by the neck and shake it to kill it. It's that intensity that we're talking about. And it goes deep inside. Well, what about a bigger television? So I've got my car, I've got my nice house, I need a bigger television, because you know what? I've got televisions about 3 or 4 years old. It's a little square one, it's got a rounded front, it's not like a nice flat screen and thing on the wall, you know, with the remote controls and all the things with it. So I'm going to go and buy one of those, and you know what? I can use my credit card, because not only did they give me a loan for the car, not only did they give me a mortgage at the bank, but they even gave me a Visa card and said, go and use this, we're here for you, we want your life to be amazing. So go and spend on this Visa card. So I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to go and spend on my Visa card. So at the end of the day, you look at your Visa bill, it's like, how did it get that high? And so you go through, you make a printout of your Visa bill, and you start looking at everything, and yeah, I did spend that. Yes, I did spend that. Yes, I did spend that. Now you've got to start paying your Visa bill back. We're all in this place. What about the latest gadget? Because the new one came out, and mine's 2 years old, so I want the new one. That's okay. That's okay. Because the store offers credit. I can go and apply for credit and not pay anything for 12 months. This is cool. Because within this 12 months, I'm going to look for a better job. And I'm going to get a better job. Does this all sound familiar? It's true, isn't it? Everybody's very quiet this morning. It's true. You know what? And I've been in this place. So I'm not just talking a theory. I'm talking a reality. I'm talking an experience. Keeping up with the Joneses. We do whatever it takes to keep up with the Joneses. New phones, computers, iPods, iPads. I just got to have one. Why? I heard this guy talking on the radio. He was talking about getting a new iPad. It had just come out. He said, I'm going to get a new iPad. And the guy asked him why, the interviewer. He said, I don't know, just because I believe I'm going to need it. He's like, you're going to buy an iPad just because you think you're going to need it? Well, that's the way the world's going, he said. Okay. All right, things are quiet. Because this is true, isn't it? After all these things the Gentiles seek, and we ourselves fall into that trap, and we fall into that place, and then we begin to worry because things get tough, our finances get tough, and we get into a situation where maybe I can't make the payments, and the fear of the person coming to take back, and my name being tarnished, and my reputation, and me, who I am, my identity. And what about the missions that God's called me to? What about the things that he's really put on my heart? I can't even go and do those things because I don't have the money. It's spent on all these other things. I don't have the ability. Well, I've got to trust God for the money for the mission trip. Well, I do have to trust him. But how's about we look at this in a whole different perspective? When Jesus is saying to us, don't worry, maybe he wants us to take a step back and say, I want you not to worry. My heart for you is that you would live in a place of such peace that goes beyond understanding, but you cannot keep putting yourself in a place where that is always challenged. How's about we take a step back and say, hey, what can I change in my life? How can I change things in my own heart, in my own life, that I can begin to live in this place of abundance, that I can do the work of the ministry? Because the next thing Jesus says is this. He talks about the three sections of that whole passage is loving the poor. He says, go and sell the alms. Sell all things that you have and give alms. Give things to the poor. Give things to the poor people. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans, the widow and the widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. How many of you this morning would love to be able to get on an airplane, go to Africa, go to Haiti, go to wherever you want to go to, and you carry this in your heart, and you want to go there, and you want to get down on the ground, and you want to love the orphans and minister to the widows? How many, put your hands up and be honest, how many would love to do that tomorrow morning? Now, some people are just not committing, because you know where this is going. And I'm sharing from experience, because I woke up one morning. I've woken up many mornings. God began to break my heart. In fact, it was a long journey. It was a journey. Somebody go and turn the clock back, please. It was a journey that started with an open heart, with a children's ministry lesson. And many of you have heard it, and I'm not going to go through that story. Where basically the Holy Spirit gave me this vision of me opening my heart, and I taught a whole lesson about living with an open heart. And then I went through a time of intense Holy Spirit experience a number of weeks after that, where it was all about me. And something changed, and something snapped in my heart, and the Holy Spirit began to break my heart for the broken and for the lost. And we sit there in the congregation, we listen to people like Heidi Baker, and we're like, God, I would love to be able to do that. Who would love to do that? Who would love to be like Heidi? Again, that was me. It's like, but we don't have to look at Heidi and say, I want to be like that. We can't actually be like that. Because it's only the Holy Spirit that's made her that way. She's responded to the call of the Holy Spirit. And I got to this place, it's like, God, I'm so desperate for you. And he changed my heart, and he began to break my heart for the poor and for the broken and for the needy. And I said, God, but I cannot do that. I cannot go overseas. I've got a family. I've got children. I've got debt. I don't even have enough money to buy an airplane ticket to go to the place that you're calling me to. And so now I find I'm in a position where, God, how do I make more money? Do I get another job? How do I do this so that now, because I've put myself in such debt, I'm owing so many things that I have to work to be able to pay those things off. I can't even go, and I can't even do the things that you're calling me to. Here's a little child in Zimbabwe. People like this need us to go and love them and heal them. Can't see these pictures too well. All he's got is some dried corn. That's all he eats all day. His clothing is what he has. He doesn't have a shirt. He's an orphan. You've heard the story of this man. He's an elderly man. He's 75 years of age. He's blind. Him and a teenage girl look after 15 orphans. They have nothing. This is where he sleeps. Those are his blankets. The little plate of food you see down on the right-hand side is what he has and the 15 orphans have for the day. This is the roof of his hut. This lady is a widow. The older lady in blue. There's three people there in the picture. There's a lady in blue. She's a widow. And she works. She's old. And she works and she tills the ground and she plants the maize and she does everything she has to do. She has no money. That's a cute little kid. This kid's not an orphan. I could tell you a story, but this kid's not an orphan, so don't feel sorry for this kid. But this kid, this is what she has to play with. A bucket with a little bit of water, some plastic bottles, and some sticks. This is her life. That probably is the only clothing that she does have. Fortunately, she's not an orphan. This is water that majority of the people in Zimbabwe have to drink. It's the type of conditions that they live in. I won't tell you his story. This lady here, her name is Winfrieda. Many of you have heard the story. I'm going to tell you a part of a story this morning that none of you have ever heard. Because it came to a place in my life, in my heart, where I said, God, I'm tired of living in the debt. I'm tired of living in this place where I cannot do what you've called me to do. And all I do is worry about finances. All I do is go to work in the morning or do my activities, the things I had to do. I was paid as a pastor here. Why was I doing it? Part of the reason why is, yes, I do love the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do love God. Yes, I do love you. And I do love the kids. But why really was I doing what I'm doing? Because I need to be paid a salary. Why is it that you do what you do? Are you called to do that as a ministry? Are you called to, by the Holy Spirit, to do what you do? Or are you just doing it as a job? Are you just doing it so that you could pay your house off, pay your car off, buy the next television, do all of those things? Jesus says, don't worry about those things. He said, if you seek me and my kingdom first, everything else that you need for life and godliness, I will give it to you. It is my absolute pleasure to give you this kingdom. But the kingdom doesn't come through possessions. The kingdom doesn't come through the abundance of possessions. It's those things that cause us to worry. So Winfrieda is a lady who, her husband used to work for us when I was a child, when I was about 8 years of, well, growing up, from when I was born up until about 8 or 9 or 10. And a year and a half ago, I went back to Zimbabwe, back to Africa, because God had called me to go back and to serve the people and to love the people who first served me. Because my heart had been broken for the lost and for the orphans and for the widows. My heart's been broken for the poor. It's like, God, I've got to do something and I've had enough. I'm just going to step out of the boat. And many of you have heard the message that I preached, stepping out of the boat. Well, that was me. And so I went to Zimbabwe, and long story, but I never knew, obviously had no idea, that the man who worked for us had passed away. He had passed away of AIDS a year before I arrived in Zimbabwe. And so I got to meet, never met his family before, never met his wife. At the God moment, how after 3 stops in a region of about 1.5 million people, after 3 stops, we ended up at her village. And I walked up to her and we began to talk, and she figured out who I was and I figured out who she was, and we just broke down in tears. She didn't have any decent clothing. Pretty much what you see is what she's wearing there is the type of clothing that she had. She had all her children around her, the grandchildren, the orphans around her were dressed in rags. The one, the very first picture you saw of the child who's a cripple, one of her grandchildren. And I was so at that place, it's like, God, we've got to change the world. We've got to do something different. I absolutely want your heart. That I sat with her and I chatted with her, and I eventually said to her, Winfrieda, I've got to do something that the Father has put on my heart. And I said, I want to wash your feet. And I want to tell you that I will take care of you for the rest of your life. And I got down and I got some water and I got a bowl and I got down and I washed her feet and I wept through the whole process. Because I knew from that moment, that this is what Jesus is talking about. Taking care of the orphans, taking care of the widows. And he's saying, if you will just get that right, if you will just put that in perspective, if you will just walk and seek first my kingdom, which is a kingdom of love, everything else will be added to you. You will never have to worry another day where your food's going to come from. You will never have to worry about all the stuff that you put yourself in a position so that we have to worry. And I washed her feet and she was crying and I was crying. And at the end of it, I prayed for her and blessed her. Went to her husband, her late husband's grave. Prayed for her and ministered to her. Well, every time I go back, I take her $200-$300. And in a country like Zimbabwe, that is a lot of money. It's not my issue. It's not my problem what she does with it. But I know she is so grateful for it. And so the last time I was there, just in March this year, I go back, I take her money, and it's so funny, so cute, because now she's expecting it, and I love it. Absolutely love it. Because we'll walk up into the village, we'll spend time, we'll eat with them, and we'll have fun with them. And then at the end of it, she'll know, and I say, okay, we've got to go. We've got to walk. We've got to go to the car because I'm leaving now. And so she'll know that I've got something for her. So she'll wait, and everyone will start walking, and she'll wait. And so this last time, it's just the two of us at the back. And so I reach into my pocket, and I give her $200. And she takes it, and she sneaks it under her hat, and she puts her hat down as she walks. Because nobody knows she's got this money. And this was the photo of her just before that event. And so The next day, her village is maybe about 3 kilometers from a little service point where we have a water filtration factory. So the next day, I'm in this little service point, and we're helping facilitate, get this factory going. And out the corner of my eye, I notice this person walking towards me. But I have no clue who it is. I don't recognize the person. She comes and she stands right in front of me. And I turn and I look at her, and I cannot, for the life of me, recognize her. And it takes me about 30 seconds of looking at, and it is Winfrieda. She has gone out and bought herself a brand new outfit. And I just about broke down in tears, because this is what it's all about. And she was so proud. She was so excited, the fact that she could go out and buy something that she had never been able to do before. So I came back from that trip. Okay, I got to finish. I believe there's a change coming. I really do. I'm saying things, and I know many of you are sitting there and you can identify with where I'm at. You can identify with what I'm saying. Because I know that in your hearts you've wanted to go in certain directions, but for whatever reason you haven't been able to be there. Well, is it that you're worried about your finances? Is it that you're worried about your house payments? As many of you, anyway, can't say too much because time is running out. In your thanks, Steve. Bulletins, when you were given this morning, did you all get one of these? A little yellow piece of paper that says Mercy Mandate? Clean water for Zimbabwe. This is the sales pitch, it's done. Okay, go and buy the song. I'm going to tell you a story. Hamish comes to me, why am I telling you all of this? Because I'm walking a journey, I'm walking a road where worry is no longer a part of my vocabulary, because I'm so fixed, I'm so secure in what God has called me to. But as George says, it doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. And no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, when we begin to shift our focus and look away from the things of the world, the cares of the world, and we look at what the Holy Spirit has called us to, the compassion, the deep desire that's in our heart to love the poor and the broken and the needy, He begins to take care and provide for everything else that we need. And we're getting to the last point, is what Jesus is coming back, and this is what it's all about. Because if Jesus really is coming back, we need to do something to minister, to meet the lost and the poor and the needy. We have to get out of our seats. We have to get out of the place where we're worried about our finances. We're worried about our daily existence. We have to get into the place where we can step on foreign soil and love broken people back to life. It's not just for the people who speak on stage. It's for every single one of us that the Father is calling us to. So what is the story about this? I want you to have a look at this quickly. You can go online. You can go to mercymandate.org and you can go buy a song. It's a song that was written about the blind man and the orphans and the teenage girl. It's a fundraiser for our mission and for our project. I've been hounded by the Canadian Revenue Agency and the people, the lawyers who are trying to put our organization together. It's been an absolute mission to get a charitable organization together, because all of our money leaves the country. And so are we providing to terrorist organizations? Are we one of those people that's going to sponsor terrorists? And so we're being scrutinized, and it's absolutely a nightmare trying to get this. And a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, okay, God, I've just had enough. Is this really what you want me to do? Do you want me to register as a charitable organization or not? Because this is an absolute nightmare. This is too difficult. Anyway, that's another story. But part of that process is, this doesn't go through the charitable organization. This goes straight to me, and I can give it straight to the people who need it, because you're buying a song. But it's great. It's a good idea. When my heart was broken with Winfrieda and the whole experience that I'd been through, I sat down and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you've got to help me because I'm in such a deep place of just compassion and love for the broken. You've got to help me put someone together. And he gave me this idea. Now, here's how it works. I have bought the song. I've sent it to all of my friends, and I've asked them to buy the song. So if we just do it 1 to 10, I ask 10 of my friends to buy the song, and then ask 10 of them to send it to 10 of their friends each. That's 101 people. And then ask them to send it to 10 of their friends each. That's 1,001. And then it goes up to 100,001 or 10,001, 100,001. And then after 6 levels, it becomes $1 million. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that easy? So I did this in March. Beginning of March, launched it on the cruise. This is amazing. I was so excited because Holy Spirit had given it to me just like he spoke about me going to Africa and walking through all the experiences I've been through. 2 weeks ago, I get my first report of how many I've sold. 48 songs. Steve's one of them. We got a couple of people who are one of them. Imagine how I felt. God, I'm worried. Immediately, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, Darren, when a man goes to sleep, he puts his family to sleep and his neighbor comes and he knocks on the door. And he says, give me some bread because I've had some people coming to my house that I wasn't expecting. And the man says, no, go away. I'm already sleeping. And because of the neighbor's persistence, he gets up and he gives his neighbor everything that he needs. Everything that he needs. Immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Why am I telling you all of these stories? Not because I've got it all together, not because I've got this massive ministry that we're doing, but because I'm going through stuff that many of you are going through. But I know that my God will never leave me and he'll never forsake me. And I know that I have to keep knocking. So this morning, I'm going to knock on the door because those 10, I just need 10 of those 48 who have gone to send it to their friends. All I need is 10. And I will keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking because God has put it so deeply in my heart that we need to love the poor and love the needy and love the broken. Sure, I have to maybe modify things. But I have no worry about where things are at the moment. Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And Jesus ends it saying, listen, I'm coming quickly. You need to be on guard. You need to be on watch. When we're constantly faced with the worries of today, when we're constantly waking up in the morning saying, I need to go to work because I have to make enough money to pay off my credit card, to pay off my mortgage, to pay off this new car, that really I don't need all of those things. But if that's my focus, how can I be on watch for the soon return of Jesus? How can I be on watch when I'm so consumed with all the other things of life? And why am I saying, are these things bad? No, they're not bad. But when they consume our time and take away from the Holy Spirit, Jesus says this, keep your lamps burning for the bridegroom. Love the poor. How do we practically make that change? How do we get out of this environment? I can't tell you his story because there's too much. There's no time. Luke 12, verse 35, let your waists be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Keep your waists girded and your lamps burning. Now you can understand why when Hamish comes and tells me, you've been in the desert for a couple of weeks. I've been in the desert, but I'm still knocking. Because there are poor people, there are broken people who need Jesus. How do we change things? Jesus speaks about value of possessions, loving the poor, and his return. All of those things, this is how you're going to change to a place of not worrying. When we focus on his return, when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, and that's the first thing we do. That becomes our absolute priority. We say, Jesus, we know you are coming back again. We do not know the day or the hour, but I know that you're coming back. And when my heart is set on you and my affections are set absolutely on you, The very next thing is, as he loves us back to life, our affection is turned to those who are broken, the orphan and the widow. And as we begin to do that, we do not need to worry about the value of possessions, because everything else will be added to us. And this is, I believe, the prophetic shift that is happening in the body in the church today. It's been going on for a while. The whole revival is about turning our focus back on the Holy Spirit. But we also have to put in order, have to put in line those things that cause us to worry. Let's all stand together. I really have not meant to make anybody feel uncomfortable. That hasn't been my heart. But as I began to read the scripture, and as I began to read that passage that I was meant to speak on, it's like, God, I really truly have no desire for the stuff of this world anymore. I've had people come to me and say, Darren, you should really buy a motorcycle. Darren, you should really, you know, you should go after these things because it's Daddy's provision for you. And in my heart, it's like, God, I cannot do that because there's so many broken people. And the money that I would have for that motorcycle, how many people could I feed? How many people could I minister to? And so I'm just telling you where I'm at deep inside of my heart. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not saying that you're wrong. You've got to pursue your journey and your place with the Holy Spirit. But if Jesus really is coming back, and he absolutely truly is, I want him to find me in that place of loving the broken just as he did. Waiting, expecting for his return. Not consumed with those things that the Gentiles are consumed with. You need to know that I'm not out of the woods yet. I'm not out of debt. But I absolutely know that I'm going to be. And I know that because of the journey that I'm walking, I know that because of the people that I'm loving, the broken people, that the Father is beginning to turn the tide. He's making me fight. He's making me walk in the direction. He's making me to set my eyes as flint on those things he has shown me. Are the battles large? Yes, they are. But without faith, it is impossible to please our God. About being out of debt. This is about making a change, making a shift, and saying, Father, this morning, I want to pursue you. I want to be moved by the things that move you. And I want to see you provide for everything else in my life. Confession, then repentance, and then acceptance. And basically, it's just a confession of that, God, I do not have the time for you because I've got so many other worries, I've got so many other responsibilities and concerns. Paying off my credit card, I'm paying my line of credit, I'm paying my car, I'm paying the house, and I have to keep doing
this morning, I want to believe in your word. I want to believe in the things that you have told me, that I can make a shift, that I can turn around and look at you in the eyes and begin to fall in love with you and to do those things that you want me to do and allow you to take care of the rest of me.